The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Who's got the wiener schnitzel? Let's see, next we got roast beef au jus. Who's got the roast beef au jus? Last but not least, foot long. Who's got the foot long?
PFW in Progress.
Okay, gang, you know the rule. No humping, no pushing, no sniffing hiding.
With Fred Kirsch.
Wool. Host. Annual.
Host.
Host.
Annual.
An annual meeting of
the big one. International Preservation Society tomorrow night.
Paul Perillo.
Hey, I guess they're right. Senior citizens, although slow and dangerous behind the wheel, can still serve a purpose.
Don't you go dying on me.
And Andy. And Andy?
Nice set of Hooters you got there.
I beg your pardon?
The owls. They're beautiful.
Andy Hart.
They must have been following us for weeks.
What do you say?
How the hell do they know that I got gas?
Eric Scalavino.
I can't feel my fingers anymore. They're numb.
Maybe you should wear these extra gloves. My hands are starting to get sweaty.
Extra gloves? You've had this pair of extra gloves this whole time?
Yeah. We're in the Rockies.
For now, anyway.
So you're telling me there's a chance?
Yeah!
PFW in Progress.
You fellas been doing a bit of boozing, have you? Sucking back on Grandpa's old cough medicine?
Part of the Patriots Football Network.
Want to hear the most annoying sound in the world?
Guys! Guys!
Fellas, think we could listen to the radio or something?
Ready for another edition of PFW in Progress. Paul Perillo and Andy Hart, otherwise known as the A-Team, will take you through on a Thursday here in Foxborough. A lot to talk about. Big show, Andy. We got the Patriots and Eagles finishing up their third day of practices in Philadelphia. We have Fred Kirsch en route, as we speak, to Philadelphia for the preseason opener tomorrow night. Our studio, all decked out with new equipment, new furniture.
Reclining red leather chairs.
Ready for Andy and I's debut tomorrow. Andy and Eyes, I just said.
I heard you.
Eyes. Eyes.
Thanks, Emmett.
Eyes. I hope I don't get blowed out.
I wouldn't mind getting blowed.
Oh, for God's sakes. For God's sakes. Really, it's just unbelievable.
No, really, though. I didn't know our recliners were going to, our leather chairs were going to
recline. A lot of activity, a lot going on here. Most importantly, we're going to go with the team itself.
Because
that sort of dwarfs anything that we have going on in the studio currently. By all accounts, Andy, a lot of good work getting done on the practice fields at the Nova Care Complex in Philadelphia. The Patriots offense in particular, by all accounts, has been quite impressive. And I'm not just, taking our word for it, the local guys that have been there, but national guys like Jay Glazier and Bert Breer and Sal Palantonio, others just raving about Tom Brady and Dan Jeremiah, the efficiency of the offense and Brady just carving up the Eagles secondary, the young receivers really stepping up in their first competitive chances against other people. I really, it's hard to necessarily talk about the blow by blow when we haven't seen every blow by blow, but it's really a good sign to see Aaron Dobson, Josh Boyce, Kenbrell Tompkins really stepping up and taking advantage of the opportunities they've had.
Against that top-tier secondary?
All right. Maybe it's not the toughest secondary that you'll see. I do like Brandon Boykin, although he's a little bit of a smaller guy, a slot type.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly not going to be a good matchup for Tompkins and Dobson on the outside. But still, they've been able to be very
productive.
It's
the next step.
Yeah.
It's, for Dobson in particular, I don't think you could have started a rookie training camp much better than he has in terms of earning the coaches and quarterbacks respect, getting reps with the first group, catching, every ball basically that you should catch, fighting with Aqib Talib and other cornerbacks for the football, making plays, and some of the wow plays. There was one from practice a couple days ago, and the Eagles.com had a nice, maybe a 10-minute segment of one-on-ones that they had on their website, and he made a phenomenal twisting catch with his left hand. So, you know, it, as the process goes, you know, Bill always talks about the step-like process or how, for Dobson, to me, it's been very step-like. Every opportunity he's had to take that next step, he's taken full advantage of it.
Yeah, he's
the other
impressive.
Guys, I think, have been good, Tompkins and Boyce. But to me, Dobson has been on a different level in terms of maximizing opportunities at a, at an early age here. And it's fun to talk about. It's fun to see. You know, it's fun to see. You know, I was telling you, you know, watching Brady just kind of go through the motion. Zoom, he makes the throw and just kind of shrugs his shoulders and walks back. He's got that cocky swagger to him sometimes in those drills, like, you know, this is taking candy from a baby. Who's up next? Who am I going to burn now with this guy? And it's a great sign. Now, as I said, I joked with Gary Tangway when I was at Comcast last night, you know, is this for real? I go, I don't know, maybe we're going to find out that the Patriots and the Eagles have the two worst secondaries in football, and, you know, that these rookies are taking advantage of that. Who knows? But it's better they take advantage of that than that they were struggling like they were in the spring when the balls were hitting the ground against air, when, you know, they weren't completing passes in two-minute drills against air. They couldn't do anything right. Much better to see Tom Brady going 27 for 27 or whatever it is against an actual defense.
Yeah, and we're going to be talking a lot about that performance that we've been reading about for the last several days, and we're going to look ahead a little bit to tomorrow night in the preseason opener with the Eagles. Also on the table, Wes Welker, you know, had some interesting comments to Sports Illustrated that are getting a lot of play nationally. ESPN, NFL Network, talking a lot about, matter of fact, they just put something that I think is, I mean, I didn't read the whole story. I only read the excerpt that Sports Illustrated has sent out. ESPN just put out that said Welker left, one of the reasons Welker left was because of Bill Belichick. And I never read that in the excerpt that I read. Right. I don't know in the whole story. So I think this is one of these deals that has sort of been blown up a little bit, but that's on the table as well. I'm sure that most of our listeners are familiar with those comments. But basically what Wes is saying, Andy, is that Bill makes it hard on the players. He's very difficult, very demanding, and not only on the field but off the field. When you talk, you need to make sure that you're doing so in a manner in which Bill is approving. And Wes said that all the time, whenever he spoke, he was always thinking about how Bill was going to take that. And even now, which I thought was kind of the most interesting portion of the whole thing, even now in Denver, he doesn't worry about what Denver thinks, but he's still sort of thinking about, I wonder what Bill would be thinking.
That would bother me if I was John Elway.
Based
Bill's
on what
I'm
saying.
Not paying you anymore. I am.
Yeah. So that's the ironic part to me is, out of what I read yesterday in that excerpt, I would be more upset if I were Denver than I would be New England. But evidently New England's supposed to be up in arms about this, although I haven't really seen a lot of that in evidence with the local media here.
All I saw a little bit on Twitter, and even last night when I was at Comcast, Mike Felger, there was a little bit of the Wes is whining or whatever.
Oh, I mean,
kind
I think
of
that's,
mocking him.
Yeah, I think that's somewhat valid, but I don't really think that he's whining about it. I just think he's sort of stating points of fact of his opinion.
Didn't bother
me
at all.
You know, from his, I don't think he's saying, I was persecuted there, and now I'm here, and it's free. It's not like this Lawyer Malloy thing where, oh, now I'm in a family, and there it wasn't. This is a better way. I don't think he's saying any of that stuff, but I guess nationally that's the way it's being portrayed. So that's on the table as well. You guys can offer us your thoughts on the Wes Welker situation. One other item, I'm sure there's a ton of other items that we haven't touched on, but Donald Jones I thought was interesting. Free agent wide receiver that came from Buffalo in the offseason. Patriots signed him to a three-year deal. Andy, you've been a little bit more up on this than I am, so I'll let you explain it. But evidently he's decided to retire due to a kidney problem that he's had, that he had going back to last year. That's why he was on IR in Buffalo. But
and there's a lot of people that believe Buffalo non-tendered him
because of that.
And, you know, when he was cut here, his agent poo-pooed anything that had to do with health. Actually, on Twitter, told
Jeff Howe
that, you know, you're looking for something that isn't there. Well, it's quite clearly there. And to me, the most interesting aspect of it, and to Donald Jones himself, was he worked out apparently for the Colts. And in the course of the physical for the Colts, his blood pressure was, I believe, 250 over 110, which for anyone who's been to the doctor, you know, normally it's like 120 over 80. Those numbers are, you know, really inflated. And so I think that's when he had an eye opening. Wow, this is something I can't do anymore. So it leads me to believe there was at least some issues that he was dealing with the whole time he was here, even though it was a short time. And he apparently there's a chance he's going to need a liver transplant. Liver or kidney? Kidney transplant. Kidney problem. And he's been talking to Alonzo Mourning, who had the kidney transplant, mm-hmm. and I guess he's being treated by some of the same doctors, but it's too bad. You know, yeah, he seemed like a very nice guy who was a sort of a middling talent. Probably could have hung on an NFL roster for a year or two just as a guy, you know, a fifth receiver type. And, you know, now he's going to have to deal with his health.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. Anytime, you know, you get guys that dealing with the real life issues like that, and you know, it overshadows everything. But
can you imagine, though, your blood pressure? Like, I don't even know what that would feel like. I wonder what my highest blood pressure has ever felt like. Running or
well,
something.
I'm pretty sure mine is generally when we're about halfway through any show. But you think about some of the things that have happened to the Patriots. This, I mean, let's eliminate the Hernandez thing because
right.
obviously that's all on a different level. But, you know, the diabetes situation with Kyle Love, this kidney problem with Donald Jones, it you know, Welker and all the drama that sort of unfolded going back to March and him leaving and now, you know, the story sort of continuing with the latest comments. It's been a really, really odd and awkward offseason for the Patriots. But we're interested in hearing what you guys have to say about all of this, and I'm sure that the topic on most people's minds is the performance of the team on the practice fields in Philadelphia. As always, webradio@patriots.com. You can email us and give us your thoughts, webradio@patriots.com. You can also hit us up on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Is it the Ace Ticket Hotline? What's the hotline?
Yeah, the Ace Ticket Hotline.
Yeah, 508-298-0398 is the best way to reach us there.
Globally, you can call us at 1-855.
I can't get into, I can't even get a. It's 55 Pats, something like that.
I don't know.
It's a bit. I don't know. Bubble. Evidently, I can't get a response from the producer.
It's 855 Pats 500, I believe.
And it's active from where?
Huh, well, that's not that's definitely not the number that Fred was talking about last week.
No?
No, I'm assuming Fred's wrong. Don't get me.
855 Pats 500.
Pretty sure that's it.
Now, is this the way the
North
email
America
always is?
Yeah, I can test that right now, actually.
I'm going to have a rant coming, I think.
Okay, it's a good time for a rant while I clear out some of these.
Kevin Minter tweeted, apparently. They were going over some rookie hazing at other camps, the haircuts mostly, and which, by the way, we could very well see from the Patriots tomorrow night in Philadelphia. You know, they have a little time to kill in the hotel today after they get ready for the game. You could see some Patriots rookies with different hairstyles, and one Zach Sudfeld could be the most entertaining, given his long locks. But Kevin Minter tweeted out, and I didn't hear it. I just saw
the
it on ESPN.
Kevin Minter?
Linebacker, I believe.
Yeah.
Worst night of my life. Shake my head or something. Why dye my hair blonde? Really, this was the worst night of your life? They shaved your head a little bit, and this was the worst night of your life? If that's true, then you are a very lucky human being to make it to the age of, like, 23 with cutting your hair being the worst night of your life. I mean, get over yourself.
By the way, the number works. It's 1-855-PATS-500, which numerically is 855-728-7500.
Okay.
So think Vince Wilfork on the end.
PATS 500.
855-PATS, because I have never, ever called an 855.
Me neither.
I have not.
Me neither. I haven't either. I thought it was going to be an 800 number.
Or an 888, which you...
Yeah.
Or 900.
Well, something like that.
You may have called...
1-900.
You may have called those 900 numbers, but...
never have. Do those even exist still?
I don't see why they would.
Just go online.
Yeah. So many different ways to...
you know.
To get there from here. Yeah, so anyway, it didn't take us long to veer off the tracks.
We'll get back.
We talked a lot about the offense. Well, we talked about the offense at the top of the show. Defensively, not quite as positive in the secondary. Number one, Alphonso Dennard seems to be dealing with something physical.
Mm-hmm.
His practice time was sort of limited in the last few workouts that we got to see here in Foxborough. He went there, did not perform very well on Tuesday and Wednesday. Today, evidently, he's not doing a whole lot.
He limped off with the trainers, I guess.
So that's something to keep an eye on.
Riley Cooper was bitch-slapping him around, I guess.
Yeah, Aqib Talib, who I think was the best player at camp during the time that we got to watch. He has not been quite as impressive dealing with DeSean Jackson. He's had some struggles there. He's made some plays, too, but not quite as dominant as he had been. Kyle Arrington is performing pretty well. Based on most of the reports that we're hearing, where's your concern level with the secondary? You actually made a good point, you know, talking about the passing game was sort of struggling here. in the first few days of training camp. And we were saying, well, is the secondary playing well, or is it the rookie receivers struggling to get open? Well, now we've seen the rookie receivers dominate against Philadelphia. Where does that leave you, leave your mindset with the defensive backs?
I still have my doubts about the defensive
backs. Well, I do too.
Very much so. And you're right, Talib has been very good, and he's clearly the top corner, the number one corner. He's clearly, you know, gonna match up with guys and be their cover guy. But, I have some, you know, Kyle Arrington. It's great that he's, you know, performing well and okay. Well, he's supposed to be your slot corner and he's going to start again by the looks of it, whether by injury or by jail or by whatever. There's a good chance Kyle Arrington could end up your starting corner again. And I'm not sure you're going to be the defense you want to be if he's your starting corner. And by extension, Marquise Cole still seems to be like he's sort of next in line there because Dennard's out, because Razai Dowling's out, and Marquise Cole I definitely don't want to see on the field all that often, but Logan Ryan has not been able to seemingly ascend in this short time that he's been here. I think he's struggled a little bit
uneven
in camp.
Yeah.
And so I have my concerns about what that secondary is going to be, and we all know, it, you know, the pass rush is going to be involved and Chandler Jones and all that, but just those four guys on paper. We know Talib is going to be out there. We feel pretty good about him. We know McCourty is going to be out there. We feel pretty good about him. We don't know who the other two are. And even if we know who that, when we find out who they are, I'm not sure I'm going to feel good about them. Whether it's Wilson and Gregory, either or at safety, or whether it's Arrington, even if Dowling gets healthy and he's out there, I'm not sold I'm going to feel good that he's out there.
Yeah.
Because by the way, if he's out there and Talib's out there, now I feel like you're going to struggle against quicker receivers. You have two bigger bodied outside corners who, sure, maybe they can match up sometimes with bigger receivers, but what about the smaller and the slots and things of that nature? I think you could have some issues there.
And just to not to continue to throw the cold water on everything, but the Eagles already were dealing with a pretty thin group of receivers. They've lost two of their better ones to torn ACLs in Jeremy Maclin and Aurelius Ben. So they're not exactly getting tested by, I think that they, I saw a report, 9 of their 12 receivers or something like that are undrafted rookie free agents. So they're not just rookies. They're right. Undrafted rookies. They're not Aaron Dobson and Josh Boyce. They're all Kenbrell Tompkins.
And I saw Kelly said, we just need to add a couple bodies.
Yeah. So I think that they haven't exactly been tested that much. And Riley Cooper and DeSean Jackson, who, you know, DeSean Jackson is a tough matchup for anybody when he decides he wants to play. But beyond that, they don't really have a whole lot. And
they barely have Cooper.
It's sort of been up and down. Yeah, and Cooper's just coming back from a mess of a situation that he created for himself.
And they also don't have a quarterback, you know, necessarily entrenched. They're gonna, Michael Vick is going to start.
Have you ever seen a depth chart with the two guys listed as the QB1 like that?
I don't know if I've seen quarterback. I've seen depth charts that included something like that. I don't know about quarterback necessarily.
Yeah, I can't really recall a quarterback situation being like that. You know, QB1 having Nick Foles / Michael Vick. And evidently, they, by all accounts, they wanted Foles to be the guy.
Right.
And he just hasn't taken it. And then Vick, on the other hand, hasn't done anything really to distance himself from Foles. He's been better, but not by a wide enough margin. So it looks like he's going to start Friday.
Yes.
So they might get a chance to get some read option stuff in, because I would think he'd be more of a candidate to test the defense doing any of that stuff than Nick Foles would.
Oh, certainly. I saw the quote from Kelly where he said, if I call 20 read options with Nick Foles in the game, I should lose my job or something like that.
Yeah. So I bring that up because I think it's possible that the Patriots see a couple of read option teams in weeks 1 and 2 with the Bills and the Jets. If E.J. Manuel and Geno Smith, respectively, play at all, whether they start or not, they could play, and you could have to be dealing with some read option stuff. So I think that's interesting. You get a chance to see some of that with Michael Vick, and that's probably some stuff that you and I are going to be talking about tomorrow night in the preseason broadcast against the Eagles. And that's our first email. Scott wants to let us know, Scott in the Cape, that he's really happy about our new roles in the preseason games. For years, I've been complaining about the two Jamokes that used to do the games. They brought no show prep or even interest once Brady and the starters left. Fred put it best, third and fourth quarter gibberish. I've been excited for this since you guys first hinted at it weeks ago. Now we'll find out who's on the field, how they've looked in practice, what positional packages are being used. I can't wait for tomorrow night. I've loved your podcast since the BM days. Not you didn't get it in.
I was reading.
And I've been spreading the word about this new telecast format to all the fans I run into. Best of luck. I know it'll be great. Thanks for being so creative and thinking of the fans' interest. So thank you, Scott, for that, those kind words. And Andy and I are very excited about it. And we're looking forward to tomorrow night to see how it goes. And
yeah, like Ninkovich was already talking about my thing that I love. Run the read option so I can hit the quarterback.
He says it's a free, green light to hit the quarterback, right. I think was the way he
I want to see that. I want to see Chandler Jones just bury the quarterback. Bury Michael Vick. Bury whoever. And let's see what happens. Let's go. It's go time.
You ready to play a quick game?
Ooh, I like quick games.
It's a quick one.
I'm usually a quick
list one. From 1 to 3, who will throw the most touchdown passes in the upcoming season? Peyton Manning, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady.
I am going to go Peyton Manning, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady.
I'm going to go Rodgers, Manning, Brady. Most sacks, J.J. Watt, Chandler Jones, JPP.
J.J. Watt. Oh, I'm supposed to go 3 in order?
Yeah.
Oh, J.J. Watt, JPP, Chandler Jones.
I'm going to go J.J. Watt, Chandler Jones, JPP. I'm a little concerned about JPP's health.
I thought he said he's never felt better.
Well, he hasn't gotten back on the field.
No, I know,
yet.
But...
I mean, you're the one who told me. Rob Gronkowski will be back on the field.
It's true. We will
Gronk,
see Jason Pierre-Paul
will be back on the field, but I'm not so sure JPP will be.
You know what, JPP?
Most receptions. Welker. Victor Cruz. Danny Amendola.
Welker, Amendola, Cruz.
I'm going to go Amendola, Cruz, Welker.
Typical Patriots fan.
No, I just don't think that they need to throw the ball 150 times to Wes Welker in Denver.
It's only 147, I think.
And just one last thing. Could you please mark the time, Kevin, where Fred asked the kid if he was hung as a great moment in PFW history? That's Matt in Denmark.
A lot of calls for that to be a great moment.
That's why I included it.
Yeah, but you know he doesn't actually do
they
it.
Don't listen. We just got a lot going on right now.
We just got a lot going on.
You guys are becoming global internet, radio, and
TV
stars.
Emails are flying in, too.
True.
No, it's like I can't keep up with all this.
And I have often said the technology and the behind-the-glass monkeys can't keep up with our talents.
No, I can't. Between all the different shows you're doing and all these calls and requests I'm getting for will you let Andy host my show? I think he's really great. All this stuff, It's hard to keep up.
This guy. Just get lunch here. That's all you need to worry about.
Yeah, you've already failed miserably. It's 12:30 and we don't have lunch. James in Brisbane.
You know, it's a stupid cliche question that we always ask. And
what are you looking for Friday night?
More important, person. Boil it down to a person.
One guy.
Oftentimes we do it when we start camp and it's like, I want to see if Josh Boyce is really fast. Well, guess what? Josh Boyce is really fast. And, is Adrian Wilson big? Guess what? He's big. So I'm going to ask you for the preseason opener, and it may be a series or two of starters. What are you looking for? And it may not be a starter. You feel free to say, Zach Sudfeld actually getting hit or whatever.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned Sudfeld because he was one of the names that just popped into my head. I'm just going to say that these young receivers in general, Dobson, Tompkins, Boyce, do they catch the ball? I don't know how much they're going to play with Brady, and I don't think it's going to be a lot. I can't imagine more than two series. But does it look normal? Do they catch the ball and, Well, I can see that happening in the regular season. Do I get that impression? It might only be two catches, but did it look like it will in the regular season?
My two are Dobson, because my whole little thing about special.
You have a little man crush on Dobson.
Well, no, but it's my
special
thing.
I'm not making fun of you. I'm just saying.
I already am confident he's going to be an NFL receiver. I don't think he'll be out of the league like Taylor Price and Chad Jackson in 2 years.
Who you also deem special.
But is he going to be good? Well, Chad Jackson was different. I deemed him special, I almost swore, catches off a jugs machine at a skills competition.
You deemed them both special.
And Taylor Price, I never deemed special. I said Taylor Price could compete. And the one time he got a chance to compete, he got a chance to compete, he ended up on the cover of PFW in 100 yards. So it's not my fault he's a punani and can't stay on the field.
No, you know what? You don't have to have that last part in there. Just stay with it. It's not my fault.
But I'm more
because that's Andy Hart in a nutshell.
You have people like Mike Reese saying we haven't seen a guy fight for these balls like Randy Moss. Since Randy Moss, is Dobson special? Are we going to say, wow, that's a second round pick? He was a steal. And my whole thing, is LeBron James special? The first game.
Yeah.
I want to see when the lights are on and it's an actual competitive environment. Does he have the chance to be something? And the other side of the ball, the same thing with Chandler Jones. I want the big year 2 jump to start. I want, in one of his 2 series, for him to fly off the ball meet Michael Vick in the backfield, tear him down, and say, I'm here, just so you know, I'm going to be one of the best athletes on the field every time we take the field.
Yeah,
that kind of thing.
And I'll say, at some point,
it would have been arm in arm stand.
At some point,
practiced.
You change, you change your worry, your concern level. But we keep talking about Dobson, and one of the things that everybody keeps talking about is his fight for the ball, and how physical he is, how strong his hands are. And I would absolutely agree with everything I've seen. This guy has been very impressive on the practice field. I would like to see him not have to fight for the ball quite as often.
That's not going
to
happen. Didn't happen in college. Not going
to
happen here.
Well, but I'm just saying, I would like to see it happen a little bit and have him just be open. And listen, at some point...
And Tim Tebow would like to have a normal throwing motion.
At some point, it might not be a concern anymore because you just say, well, that's open for him. He's open. He's going to catch that ball 9 times out of 10. And then I won't be worried about it anymore.
It's also not as big a concern with Brady as his quarterback. You know, Mallett's his quarterback. I'm not sure Mallett's going to put it right in the window that he needs it in.
No, you're right. In the regular season, it wouldn't be a concern. I mean, I have my eye on the prize. And what happens in the playoffs. You have them out in the wild card round, so we know how you feel on that.
That is what it is.
James in Brisbane.
Good dying, Mike!
Because he's really been enjoying the shows. He wanted to get our take on the Welker comments. We threw them out there at the beginning of practice. I mean,
much
sorry,
ado about nothing.
Show. I heard Salk and Holly, that's WEEI here locally. Andy will be co-hosting with Mike Salk next Thursday. You guys want to make sure you check that out. I'm going to head to Felger's show right after this today. Talk a little bit about the preseason broadcast. He was saying that Welker was just bitter because he wanted to stay with the Patriots. They also said Welker had underachieved because in his Patriots career, he didn't have any signature plays like Troy Brown or Kevin Falk or even Randy Moss. They argued their point well, but I just can't bring myself to agree with them. Do you? All the best. Keep up the good work. Go ahead.
What are the signature plays for Kevin Falk and Randy Moss? What are they?
Randy Moss did catch the go-ahead touchdown in the Super Bowl.
Oh, so now go-ahead touchdowns when you lose are signature plays?
Yeah, see, I actually do look at that as a signature play, but...
Yeah, I don't. I don't think a lot of people have signature plays. You know what is a signature play? Kirk Gibson. That's a signature play. I mean, what are the other signature plays? First of all, what is Troy Brown's signature play? Because I would argue Troy Brown had, like, 5 signature plays.
Well, yeah, I would, too.
And I'd also argue that those are different because... You know what his led to? Bling ring. That's what his led to. Randy Moss has never led to a ring. And to me, a lot of signature plays, they're signature because they lead to championships. Otherwise, they're just called good plays or great plays. Right? Adrian Peterson has a lot of great runs. But until he has one of those great runs to close out a Super Bowl or an NFC title game or something.
I don't like that.
It's not signature plays.
I don't like just, you know, the only guys that are good are the guys that win Super Bowls.
No, it's not about being good. There's been millions of guys who've been great. Signature plays generally come in marches towards titles. That's how they become signature.
Yeah. I mean, I think that catching a go-ahead touchdown in the last 2 minutes of a Super Bowl is a signature play. It's not his fault that. Yet, you know, the defense let the team go 80-plus yards. Again.
And what was so great about it?
Again, no, I'm just...
He caught the ball. He's a wide receiver, isn't he? Isn't that his job, to catch the ball?
Okay. All right.
To me, a signature play is an extraordinary play, beyond the ordinary play, and generally...
Well, you don't
in
think Moss had any of those?
No, I do, and I think Wes Welker did, too.
Oh, no, I'm not arguing that
so
Welker
I think it's
didn't.
Ridiculous.
I'm not arguing
but
that
I,
Welker
I actually
didn't.
To me, if you ask me the signature play of Randy Moss as a Patriot... I would say in Miami, jumping 3 Dolphins for a touchdown.
Either that one or
that's
the one
what
in
I would,
Cincinnati.
That's what I would think.
When he had his legs parallel
that
to the
was
ground
his best
and somehow
season,
got his feet in
and those were the best catches in his best season when he put the NFL on notice of, I'm back.
But I think Welker had a number of
me too.
Signature plays, and I would count them as, you know, any number of the times that he got absolutely pasted on first down and was back on the field on third down to catch a first down pass. Those to me are signature plays. That's Wes Welker's trademark, is his ability to take a licking and keep on.
But I think he has similar to Kevin Falk in the same way. Like, I can't think of a specific Kevin Falk play. I can think of a lot of plays, but like Wes Welker, he had a lot of like 18-yard punt returns where he just squirted free and that set up a drive. To me, that's a signature type play under the guise of what those guys are apparently calling signature plays. Like Troy Brown, his greatest signature play, had they won the Super Bowl, to me, would have been the strip against the Chargers, because it's just the never say die gamer attitude of Troy Brown. that would have been his signature play. But to me, it loses a little of its signature because
I don't get that part. Title. Of it, but I think we're in agreement here that Wes Welker made a lot of
stupid to say
plays.
Any signature play. Now my guess is those a-holes were probably saying his signature play was the drop in the Super Bowl.
Well, no, I know Mike.
Probably
Mike,
what those
Mike Salk says that, and
ooh,
and
if
and
he
I
says
that,
on Thursday, it could lead to some
fireworks.
Well,
and then he keeps on. He keeps on insisting. He goes, "Would they have won the Super Bowl if he had caught the ball? Maybe. I can't read the future.
Right.
I don't know what would have happened in the last 5 minutes of the game. What I do know is it would have given him a first down around the 20-yard line, and I will say with certainty they would have added 3 points.
Right. I think they would have won the Super Bowl.
I think they probably would have won the Super Bowl, but if they get held to a field goal on that drive.
Like, when Moss caught the touchdown, I think they were going to win the Super Bowl.
Exactly. And now, let me ask you this. Do you feel that much more confident that the Patriots would have had to given up a touchdown at the end of the game rather than kick a field goal at the end of the game? I wouldn't have.
Right.
I wouldn't have. Now, listen, the time would have been different. The urgency would have been different. There would have been less time, and the Giants probably would have had to use all their timeouts on defense before they even got the ball back. You never know. But to sit there and make an argument that Welker cost them the Super Bowl because he didn't catch that pass, not only is silly because of the drop, but who knows what would have happened after that.
So now if you phrase it, had Brady thrown the ball on target and on time, would they have won the Super Bowl?
Same thing. I don't know what would have happened after that. Now, you could make an argument that that would have been a touchdown
right.
if he had thrown it properly.
Right.
You could make that argument, and then in that case, now you're up 2 scores inside of 5 minutes.
Right.
Game's over.
Right.
But, you know, I don't know, really, we had to go back there, and Fred's not here to pick off a scab. Back to the stuff going on in Philadelphia, though.
Philly!
Interesting, I thought, that all the stuff that we've been hearing about with Chip Kelly at practice really hasn't been going on. You know,
right.
the loud music. The really turbo tempo style.
And that's, I mean, that makes sense, A, because
yeah,
you have
absolutely.
Another team there that's, A, not used to it, but, B, has some input as to how we're going to run these practices. These aren't Chip Kelly's practices. These are Bill Belichick and Chip Kelly's practices. And as much as Bill says it's good to see other things and experience other things, I don't think he just wants to say, okay, we're just going to do everything Chip Kelly's way. He has his input as to how to run the practice.
Yeah, and I think it's, when you're practicing with two teams, too, communication's a little bit more important.
Right.
And if you got things blaring, yeah, I understand it's going to be loud in the stadium, but you're not communicating with another team during
right.
a game.
Right.
So I can understand that you might want to have it run a little bit differently. But I have been we're talking a little bit about some of the young guys. You talked about Logan Ryan and some of those guys. Daron Harmon, evidently, who I think has been really quiet throughout camp and the ones that we've seen.
Well, he started to rise late.
Evidently, because it's continued that rise that
yeah,
we saw.
Yeah, the last two practices here, he started getting reps rotating in with kind of the first defense. It's hard to tell because, as we've always talked about, the three levels kind of rotate at separate paces sometimes with the linebackers, the D-line, and the secondary.
Yeah.
But he was getting reps out there that were, I think, noticeable and you know, reps, I would say, probably a little bit ahead of Tavon Wilson and sort of just behind the three veterans who were vying for starting jobs. So I thought he started to come on the last couple days here. And then, yes, you're right. What we're reading out of Philadelphia is that sort of continued. And that's a good sign because I'm not sure Tavon Wilson, based just on the offseason and the start of camp, has come on over the last year.
No, and it looks like that's the guy that he's sort of moved past. Now,
right.
is it a temporary thing? Is it something they planned on doing
right.
at some point in camp? Or is this...
He earned it.
Harmon's moving up and Tavon Wilson's moving down. We'll,
right.
you know, we'll find out. That that fourth safety spot could be something to keep an eye on. Not that it's you know, overly vital now, but as you always like to say about your depth, you never know.
Well, the other interesting aspect to it of the fourth safety is it becomes the third safety if McCourty becomes your corner.
Yeah, and well, I didn't even think of that. I was actually thinking in terms of the big nickel that we've seen a little bit of with three safeties on the field at once. Does
right.
that make that next safety a little bit
right.
more important if you want to keep using three safeties? You know, it's like the tight end thing. You know, Bill always says, well, we want to play two tight ends. Well, you need more than two.
Right.
If you want to run a two tight end offense. That's why they all of a sudden started signing a lot of tight ends.
Right.
If something happens to Adrian Wilson or Steve Gregory and you want to run three safety as part of your base package, you better have someone like Daron Harmon up to speed.
Sure.
That's why I thought it was kind of interesting.
Sure.
What other sort of personnel notes have you gleaned from?
Personnel notes.
From our reports from Philly.
Personnel notes. I don't know. I need a more specific question. I don't like open-ended questions.
All right. Well, signature plays for Pat in Agawam. Agawam Mass says, you know, the 99-yard touchdown against Miami for him.
Certainly one that's in my head.
And luckily for Wes, the Patriots won that game, so it can be considered that. Although no, they did not win the Super Bowl that year, so
that's not really a signature play. It's not really a signature play. But using the what they use, I'm like Fred. He has a higher level for the Hall of Fame. I have a higher level for signature plays.
You know what's fun about that? What's Brady's signature play?
Brady's signature play.
I should have learned not to ask you those open-ended questions.
Why?
You just said, I don't like these open-ended questions.
Yeah, I'm thinking about Brady. So I don't want to just flippantly throw it out there.
You brought up looking for stuff.
I could give you a signature play that has nothing to do. I think the spike in the snow in the end zone is a signature-type Brady moment. That I would give
you. And that would certainly fulfill your requirements. They won the game, went on to win the Super Bowl. So
indeed.
That could be one. That could be one.
Signature play. I don't know. I'd have to think about it. I'm not big on signature plays.
Standing on the sideline watching the defense dominate.
Every great player
no?
has signature plays. I think no. signature plays are limited.
I actually think Tom Brady's signature is just how cool he is.
Right.
You know how he's.
He has like signature drive or something. Yeah, like, and how, boom, boom, boom. Okay.
You know,
game. You know what's a signature?
That Rams Super Bowl. To me, the signature is taking what the defense gave him underneath and just dropping it off to J.R. Redmond, not fumbling the ball on that first play where he almost got the ball taken away from him. But just
the touchdown to David Givens where he like looked right, middle, left, and came back. Yeah.
Another one. Yeah.
Like to me, that's a signature type Brady play. But again, maybe I'm just not a big fan of the phrase.
When the great ones do it.
Like, you know who has a signature play who and it involves the Patriots who didn't win anything and it wasn't relevant in really any way? Barry Sanders.
Oh, yeah.
When he spun what's-his-name around like four times.
Harlan Barnett.
That is a Barry Sanders signature play. Earl Campbell had signature plays because he has a specific style and skill set.
Right. And you see them over and over and over again.
You know, Randall Cunningham, that one where he gets his legs hit out from underneath him and kind of puts down and then goes back up.
Do you happen to see some of the I think he's one of the Football Lifes coming up on this season.
I'll
of
have
Football
to see that.
Life.
I like him.
And they play a clip of him talking, and he says something along the lines of, there were times where I couldn't wait to watch the films because I couldn't believe what I had just done. I was like, are you bleeping kidding me?
Is that Cunningham or Eric Weddle?
Melvin in Tennessee.
Eric Scalavino.
We had talked about some of the things that, you know, the individuals you're looking for.
See, what you want to see.
Shane Vereen, where they use him.
That's a good one.
Very good
one. And what he does with it.
Because
you know what? If he's going to be special, I don't care if it's two series, give me a play where you make somebody look bad, you make a nice catch, you make some sort of a play.
Remind me to get back to Vereen when I'm done reading this email. On
okay.
defense, Hightower needs to bring it on the edge.
Yeah, I'm like really close to cutting ties with Hightower.
By the way, who would get more women in their prime? A, Eric. B, B-Lo. C, Brian from the museum. This is the guy that eats balls for breakfast. So who would get more chicks, as they say?
I don't know any. I mean, I'm going to go with Brian, who eats balls for breakfast, not Lo.
Yes. Yeah, I think that he had more... more game, so to
yeah.
speak.
I mean, Eric's got, you know, in his prime or out of his prime, gets none. And B-Lo in his prime didn't get a lot. So I'm going to go with Maury, even though I wasn't really aware of his exploits in his prime. He gets plenty now, though. You know, if you include 66-year-old women with National Geographic boobies.
Brett wants to know, Dobson or Edelman, who will have the better year?
Dobson.
I agree.
I think Dobson is going to be a core part of this offense if he stays healthy. Core part. Like, you know, start every week and out there most of the time and in most packages and making plays.
I want to get back to that Vereen thing that I just mentioned, but before I
How many players will... Sorry.
That's okay. Go ahead.
How many players on this team will catch more than whatever you set a bar, 70 passes or 60 passes?
Three.
Amendola.
Dobson and somebody else.
That's a lot of catches for a rookie receiver.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know what I think of catches.
No. But that's whether you think catches are important or not, for a receiver to just have that many as a rookie, that's a lot.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm not saying it's not. I thought One thing that I'm a little concerned about with all three of those rookie guys, Tompkins, Boyce, and Dobson at the top, is durability, you know, and rookies. They're rookies. And
yeah, but what if they just combine for like 110 catches?
No, I mean, listen, I don't – if you're asking me what is going to happen, period, I don't know.
No, I'm saying like, you know, a 40, a 40,
I'm in Fred's
and a 30.
Chair, so I have to say we just don't
know. They go through a slump, one guy gets hurt, you know, but if yeah, they all three combine for like 110.
Yeah, that could happen.
Is that good enough?
That could absolutely that could happen. Again,
I didn't say if it could happen. Is that good enough?
I need to know context. I mean, do they make plays? I mean,
I don't know, Paul. Why do you always have to suck the fun out of everything?
Brady's thrown about 35 touchdowns, more or less, the last several years. Mm-hmm. Well, if those guys are, you know, the receptions are lower, but you know, he still gets around 35 touchdowns. No, that's fine. That works fine for me. But I need some guys to make some plays. And this is an argument that I had the other night on Comcast. You know, they're talking about production. And I was like, well, just don't just weigh production in the number of catches a guy has. Well, you know, he can do it. I mean, you know, Edelman proved when Welker was out, he could do it. I said, but he proved he could catch passes. Did he prove he could be Welker? And I would say no. Generally, it took a lot more attempts to get Edelman the same amount of catches that Welker normally had. And I made the comment about Brandon Lloyd. You know, 74 catches, 140-something targets last year. Where is he? Is that a work? He didn't make a lot of plays.
Well.
He didn't make a lot of plays.
He didn't make a lot of plays, but he's not out of work solely because of his production last year. He's out of work in part because he's an a-hole.
Right.
Who's burnt his bridges in enough places with enough people that's an issue.
No, but do you think that's a big part of the reason why he's not on the Patriots right now, or a small part?
On the Patriots,
yes.
Small part.
Okay.
That he's not in the league?
We're in 100% agreement.
A big part.
Well,
I think
the league has looked at it and said 7-8 teams can't be wrong at this part.
Well, I think the league knows exactly what 7 or 8 teams saw. That this guy was tough to work with, a little bit
and
weird.
Not that good. It's not
sure,
T.O. in his
but
prime.
That doesn't matter.
You deal
there
with T.O.
in his
prime.
There are enough teams in this league that don't have receivers that if he didn't have that mental baggage, he'd be in a camp and probably be vying for a top three job somewhere.
I agree, but I think the bigger factor is that he's not that good.
I think here that was the bigger factor.
I don't think it's arguable.
I think the bigger factor in the league is his reputation and his value and
yeah,
all that.
See, I think if they thought that he was good enough, like T.O. in his prime,
oh yeah,
to
but,
deal
I mean,
with
that's
that,
not even arguable.
They would deal with it.
But that's not
I think
even
the
arguable.
Overriding factor is he's not that good.
Yeah, I don't agree.
Let's see what our expert on wide receivers thinks. Because we have Eldridge on the line. Eldridge, Patriots should probably sign both T.O. and Brandon Lloyd, right?
No, I would keep what we got right now.
Ooh, Eldridge is excited about the young receivers.
Okay.
About some of them, because I've been looking at some of y'all podcasts, and I got the Patriots app on my phone.
Yep.
So when I can catch up a little bit, I look, and I was actually out of practice, what's going on, and Dobson mixing up with Williams. I sort of like that. That's just a little fire.
Oh, yeah, he has fire, he has fight, he has ability, he has pretty much everything you could ask for.
So he do fight for the ball. Eric Gordon was a sports writer, wrote about him before he got in the draft. So he wouldn't fight for the ball, they just got speed. And
yeah, I don't know who wrote that, but if you listen to us, our one concern was the separation. And that remains a little bit of an issue, is he doesn't create a lot of separation. That's why he's always fighting for the ball. The good news is, most times when he fights for the ball, he comes down with it.
Okay. But my focus right now is the defensive backfield. So I also saw on there where Ryan was getting beat, hurt like toast. But I know he's a rookie.
Yeah.
And him and Tavon Wilson led Jackson. Was it Jackson or was it Cooper? Catch a long bomb in the end zone again?
Cooper,
yeah. So I was like, how the defense look since y'all did in practice?
The defense is going to be a work in progress, just like the offense. I mean, you're not going to flick a switch and your secondary is going to go from 25th in passing yards allowed in 75 or 74 plays of 20 or more yards to no plays of 20 or more yards and just shut down. They have issues, and part of their issues right now is depth and personnel with Dowling and Dennard out.
Yeah, I saw that about Dowling did. I'm like, I thought he was healthy in camp.
Well, he was a while ago, but it looked to be a minor issue. He went to the bike. This was, I don't know, late last week, middle of last week. Went to the bike, was just riding. Okay, maybe he's got a little tweak, and we haven't seen him since.
Okay, one more question, and let you go.
Okay.
How did Brady look throwing to the guy? They're doing the practice against Philly.
Phenomenal.
Yeah, I mean, it's been everybody's been in agreement. Surgical. He's been
Tom Brady looking as good as he's ever looked, according to Fred Kirsch.
I'll say this, Eldridge, and this is the best way I can put it, I think. We haven't seen a lot of instances where he's thrown a ball to a guy like in the past with Ocho and some of the other guys where you said, oh, they weren't on the same page. It's happened sometimes.
A few.
Matter of fact, it happened with Amendola once on an in. He threw it in and Amendola cut out. We haven't seen that a lot.
Saw it once with Dobson where he threw like a back shoulder fade and Dobson didn't. Yeah, so there's been a few, but for the most part, it's looked, I think personally, as good as you could have expected for a team that is going through a redo at the wide receiver position.
Sure. All right, thanks, Eldridge. And it sounds like he's a little bit enthusiastic about the new receivers.
Well,
fine,
yeah. So, a lot of pub about the receivers.
All right, let's stick with the Ace Ticket Hotline while we're here. Chester is in Oregon, and he's next up.
Oh, my God. Eldridge is content with our receiving frozen over or what?
Yeah.
That means they're all going to suck.
My calls have been few and far between, but I had to get a call in after I heard that, you know. And I wanted to call in. You know, the summer of Chester, by the way, has been on and popping. Been on the beach doing my own version of surveying the tight ends, if you know what I mean. Every time I do that, you know, the thought that pops to my mind is, you know, why the hell isn't a Dallas Clark in camp, and why the hell isn't Ballard shipped out? You know, I feel like the kid is damaged good. You know, I'm really starting to wonder, you know, why we're kind of sitting on that. And, you know, alluding to the last show, you know, we got encouraged to kind of give you guys a little feedback on the content and your little spot on the new preseason format, which I'm excited about, you know, and I really want to hear what's going to happen with the tight end progression. And, you know, again, you know, it sounds like Fells and Hooman are kind of leading the charge there. But, you know, I really want to hear you guys' take through the show, through the game, rather, as to kind of where we're going to go. And I'd like to spot on Ballard and kind of what we're going to see in the next 2 weeks there. Second point there, I also want to find out, I called earlier on, you know, after last season about secondary depth and that being a big concern on my mind. You know, I know we got a lot of bodies there. But, you know, the guy on my mind is, what's going to happen with Tavon Wilson? Is this guy going to be the odd man out now with the emergence of, you know, some of these other guys coming to the middle of the secondary? And, you know, I'd like to see where he's going to show up here in terms of, you know, which part of the game, which quarter, and so forth. So, you know, just wanted to give you guys a couple of those takes on my end, and hopefully you can feature those in your spot. Good luck tomorrow.
Right.
Can't wait for football to start. Over and out.
Thanks, Chester.
Chester, thank you very much.
Enjoy those tight ends.
I think his point about the secondary depth is something Andy and I have talked a lot about in training camp, and I think it's a valid one. I think that if things go well, there's a chance that this secondary looks better. I think you have your top five guys that you sort of finished with last year: Tlaib, Dennard, Arrington, McCourty, and Gregory. You have those five guys that you come back with. I think it would stand to reason that those guys are better this year than they were even when they finished last year. You add to that Adrian Wilson, and hopefully they have a way to get something out of him that maybe accentuates his size as opposed to his weakness in coverage. You can be better. Beyond those guys, you have rookies and young guys who have yet to prove themselves. And I'm not sure that if you get an injury to, say, Tlaib, or even Dennard. Right now, Dennard's sort of nursing something.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there's some trouble there. Dowling is not to be relied upon. Tavon Wilson does not look like he's made a step. Logan Ryan is probably not ready to play a real prominent role yet. How do you feel about the depth back there?
I think it's terrible. I don't think there is a lot of depth there. I think it's a major concern. And I think if Tlaib goes down, it's not Brady-like because it's the defense, and, you know, the defense hasn't been that good
Obviously.
Anyway. But it's irreplaceable. It's a major blow to, you know, the domino effect of what would go on in the secondary and how they would try to get past it. Yeah. And he's not, and I'm not a Tlaib guy that says he's, you know, the second coming of Darrelle Revis. I think he's a good cornerback who is the best they've had, but his value is huge for this defense, in my opinion, this year. And it'll be interesting. I mean, Logan Ryan, who knows? Maybe he comes on. You know, we're you know, really rubbing the inner thigh of all these rookie receivers, and, you know, he hasn't looked good for 2 weeks. Maybe
the receivers are pretty good. But that's why he hasn't looked.
Maybe that Belichickian progression that he says, you know, there's the straight one, the step one. Maybe he's a slow, boom, and he gets it all of a sudden. You know, it's doubtful. I doubt we're going to say week four of camp, wow, what happened? He flicked a switch. He's knocking everything down.
Could
now.
He make the week four jump?
Seriously. You know,
no,
I mean, if,
I know
if we're going to count on three rookie receivers to catch 110 balls and be a key part of the offense, then, you know, anything can happen with young players. But the depth to me is a major concern there because the depth is already being challenged. It's not like you're saying if something happens.
I think that's
happens,
a big thing.
You, A, Dennard and Dowling are already hurt, but B, we still have no idea what Dennard's status is going to be moving forward, whether it's suspension, right. Jail, anything. So you have two of your top guys, theoretically, that are already major question marks.
And I'm a big believer in what you just said, like the depth is already being challenged. I think it's far more significant when guys get hurt before a season even starts than they do when you go on. And that's why I think, you know, we talked on Tuesday, some of the guys that have gotten knocked out for the season already around the league. And this is why I think the Hernandez thing is going to hurt, because you're down a guy at a key spot already. You figure to lose more along the way. Mm-hmm. And now instead of going down to 2 and 3, you're going down to 3 and 4. You know, Green Bay, they lost their left tackle. What's the chances that the guy who replaces Brian Bulaga at left tackle just goes wire to wire and plays at a high level for 16 games?
Right.
You're probably going to be dealing with a third tackle at some point, or moving a right tackle over to the left side. Same thing what you just talked about in the secondary. Dennard's already hurt. Dowling's already hurt. You know, if those guys can't answer the bell, now you're already down to a rookie like Logan Ryan or a Marquise Cole playing a reasonably significant role, at least at the outset. Those are some of the things that would concern me, you know, from a personnel standpoint. And with health, because you just can't avoid it. Real quick, I want to take a break because our lunch is here, and I want to thank Warren Ladd for buying Andy and I and Kevin lunch today. I noticed that he strategically avoided having the entire crew here. Well done, well played, Warren. Well played. Did not go unnoticed. But Shane Vereen, I wanted to talk about just a little bit, and you can continue to eat, Andy.
I thought you were going to do a real radio tease and say, we'll talk about that after the break.
No, I keep bringing it up, and I wanted to get to my point. I'm a little concerned about my love affair for Shane Vereen, and I'll morph it into one of your little radio jumps, or whatever they call it, radio outs.
Tease?
Yeah, and I'll tell you why after we get finished eating.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo's sacks at Gerard Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down to 65 odd megabits per second available.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected. The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo's sacks at Gerard Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds are the 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
We all know Paul Perillo isn't afraid of a microphone or a camera.
Good Lord, I would call you a media whore, but I feel like that would be offensive to whores.
During the season, Paul can be seen on programs like PFW TV, Patriots All Access, Patriots Today, and Mohegan Sun Sports Tonight. He can also be heard daily on Patriots.com during PFW in Progress, or on 98.5 The Sports Hub during, well, any show that will take him.
I need more airtime. I'm going to make that clear.
And we thought Andy had a big head.
Maybe it'll be Patriots Today's Todd McShay, Mel Kiper, our version.
As long as Paul Perillo was involved in that version, I'm all for it.
Now, back to Paul Perillo and those other guys.
Sorry about that. Just finishing up a bite of a wonderful lunch provided by Warren Ladd. Andy Hart and Paul Perillo back with you, PFW in Progress. We've hit about the halfway point here, talking a lot, obviously, about the Patriots' performance in Philadelphia this week against the Eagles and their joint practices. The last 3 days, they decided to move up the time of the practice on Tuesday, Andy, and I guess the weather reports indicated that some thunderstorms were coming in, and wouldn't you have it, wouldn't you know it, as they were leaving the field on Wednesday, it just opened up and started pouring. So Chip Kelly and Bill Belichick right on top of that. Unlike Charlie Casserly, they got it right as often as the weathermen. And they were able to get their practice in. They did the same thing today. They practiced a little bit earlier than they normally would have.
Giving the veterans plenty of time to maybe shave the rookies' heads tonight.
You think that's going to happen tonight?
I think there's a chance.
Yeah, I think that's probably a good chance. Before we took the break, I had mentioned Shane Vereen. And I am all in on Shane Vereen.
Doesn't sound like you are.
I'm a little concerned. And I'm concerned because I've been so passionately all in on his skills. And we wrote some stuff, you and I, about during the offseason about the possibilities of him being used in a variety of ways. Maybe split out wide as a receiver, stuff that we saw a lot during the spring at OTAs and minicamps, running a lot of routes along the sidelines, double moves, and things that we saw at the end of last year and in that playoff game against Houston. I haven't seen a ton of that in training camp from him, and he appears to be dealing with something physical because he hasn't really been taking part, especially lately, in the entirety of practices. I'm a little concerned that this guy is a little fragile, and I don't know if he's dealing with something. I don't know if they're just being cautious. I don't know. Maybe they don't want to unveil this guy that they think is going to be a huge weapon for them. You know, maybe they feel like he and Brady have worked together for 2 years now. They don't need a preponderance of reps during training camp to continue that. I would be surprised if that were the case. I think they do need that because I don't think they've had enough game reps to be comfortable. I'm a little concerned. Am I being a worrywart? Am I being overly cautious? Because I haven't seen him do a whole lot.
A little overly cautious or a little overly worrisome. I have my concerns. He's a guy that injuries are an issue with him. And, you know, not always major injuries. It's not blown ACL. It's a little muscle or something here or there. That's a concern. But until I see it limited him a lot this year, I think they are monitoring something. But I think they monitor things with a lot of guys at a lot of times. You know, football's a tough sport. You know, you get tweaks, you get pains, you get aches here and there. He's been on the field for the most part. That's the good sign, right? You know, and I mean on the field, not necessarily taking every rep, but on the practice field. Whereas we saw what looked like some sort of a minor tweak or something, and Rozai Dowling hasn't been seen since a week ago. So
that's true.
I have minimal concern about that, but it is something that bears just observation.
Yeah. I'm wondering if maybe he's one of those track guys that has to be just all right, you know, 100%. I got to be my legs. I and if I feel a little something in that hamstring, I'm going to shut it down. I'm a little concerned. A little concerned. I'm
and not, that might not, be something.
Not big concern.
He'll lose. There is no Danny Woodhead, so that might be something that is sort of forced upon. No, you got to go this week. If you can go in any way, and maybe that'll be kind of forced out of him. Yeah.
So I don't want to overstate it. I don't want to make it sound like I'm, the sky is falling here. I'm a little concerned about that situation. We'll see how it goes. I want to get back to the Ace Ticket Hotline real quick here. Tyrone in Delaware is next up. What's going on, Tyrone?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Great.
Yeah, the last time I called right after the draft, and I was telling you guys that I was very pleased with the draft. And I think, Paul, a couple shows ago, you was alluding that you wasn't concerned about the offense. And I think from what I'm seeing and from what I'm hearing, I think East Gallup make a good write a good piece of it yesterday about the practices down here in Philadelphia, and it's going pretty good. And if the guys down here are oohing and aahing against Dobson and Campbell, I can't even pronounce his name, and these guys. If we had these type of guys last year, I think it would have helped us. And from what I'm hearing and what I'm seeing, I think these guys are going to pan out. I just hope that Brady could be a little patient with the guys. And if they do make a mistake, because they are rookies, don't get frustrated with them. Just hang in there with them because they're very decent, and I'm very thrilled about these guys. What you guys think?
Well, he has to hang in there with them because they are the bulk of the offense right now. You have Amendola, and I guess you have Edelman that you could sort of turn to, but you're talking about the bulk of the offense is sort of these three young targets right now. And because of that, I don't know had they been here last year, would they have helped him? Because you had Hernandez and Welker and Gronkowski and these guys that they were clearly comfortable with. And even Lloyd was a guy that McDaniels was clearly comfortable with and clearly wanted to be a part of the offense. I'm not sure these guys would have gotten any chances last year to help this football team, even if their physical skills warranted it. But right now, they are going to get their chances because they have to.
What are you looking for tomorrow night, Tyrone?
Well, I'm just looking for the same thing that's been going on. I think Dobson and Kerry Williams, I don't know if you remember, Kerry Williams was the Baltimore Ravens secondary. He's now with the Eagles.
Yep.
And Brandon Lloyd couldn't get open from him at all. He was shutting him down. Well, Dobson is just torching him down here in practice. I mean, I know it's practice or whatever, but I guess just to see the young guys produce, I guess it's, that's all you could ask for. I mean, I'm not asking for them to be, you know, world beaters for the rookies, but hey, it's better than last year, if you ask me. Well, you guys have a good one.
All right, thanks, Tyrone. I, you know what?
I want to add to it.
I don't know if I would say it's better than last year, but I think it has the potential to be. Better.
What?
These receivers, I think, has, you know, this dose of
the
youth.
The receivers?
The wide receivers, ends, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
The wide receivers.
Obviously, it has a chance to be better. Significantly better. You know, I don't even think it's close. Potential.
Yeah, well, that's what I said.
But, I mean, if Amendola blows out an ACL in week 2 and Dobson blows in week 4, then you suck.
Sure. Leave it to you to look at that.
No, I'm just saying it has the chance because Amendola can be as good as Welker. He clearly has the potential to be as good as Welker if he can stay healthy. He could catch 100 passes in this offense and be a very formidable target for Tom Brady. That, to me, is not even arguable. And these young guys clearly have the potential and are already showing more spark than Brandon Lloyd ever did last year. So easily has the chance to be better. But I want to add to Lloyd. I want to add to our question, not just what you're looking forward to, but let's play PFW editor, publisher Fred Kirsch in advance. What would be the best cover to come out of tomorrow night's game for PFW? The best photo, tells the story, caption, whatever you want to call it. Is it off and flying or something? Something about just the passing game? Is it specific to just Dobson? And I can't even think of one right now. Aaron.
Would you be more excited if the story of the game was Dobson making a great catch or doing something like that to go along with the off and flying that Andy just said? Or your other thing that you said you were looking for, would it be
Chandler
Jones strip sacking Michael Vick or something?
Ooh, I'd like that one. That one would be mine, I think.
You know, I think you can make an argument. I would rather see the latter. I know the offense is going to be okay. I know that I'm in the minority on that. I know it's going to be fine.
Well, oh, to me, it's what it's going to be. Is it going to be okay? Is it going to be fine? Is it going to be good? Is it going to be very good? Is it going to be elite?
It won't be elite, but it'll be all the other things.
So it'll be very good?
Yeah.
Very, very good? Because I know you like to add a second very sometimes.
I don't think they're going to score over 500
points.
So
the offense will be as good as Bill Belichick's draft.
I think they'll score in the 400s. How's that? Maybe not 550. They'll score 450. I think they'll be fine.
Fine.
We have a first time ever right now on the new number, the new 855 number, is Brian in Brighton.
Wow.
Hey, yeah, you got to give the monkey some credit. It actually worked.
Nah, I don't give the monkey credit. Where did the monkey get cheesecake from? The monkey's eating cheesecake behind the glass.
Hey, the 855 number worked. You got to give him a little reward.
Okay, good job, Kevin. The 855 number worked. Now get all the other ones in all the other countries working.
Okay, now I say this with love for you two, but honestly, when it's just you two, you guys, in the famous words of Charles Barkley, are terrible. Terrible.
Shut up. Blow this guy up. Do we have a blow up on the 800 number? Blow this guy up.
You got to fight some more. You guys agree too much. Paul, when you read the emails, you turn into NPR Eric.
That's a low blow right there.
Now take that
back.
That's
a kick in the nuts.
Take that back. I understand about the
It always happens. We don't have as much time to screw around when there's not as
many
people.
I understand the no fighting thing is, I mean, if we fight, there's no show.
Right.
There's just two guys fighting.
Yeah.
Now, I disagreed with Andy on his Brandon Lloyd thing. I think the reason he's out of the league is because he can't play.
Lloyd!
But you're too civil.
Well, what are we going to do? Just argue about something like that? I mean, Fred's not here.
The beauty of the four is you can argue. Somebody else can rein it back in. Somebody can kind of balance it out.
Yeah, but if we just make, yell at each other, make fun of Fred.
Right.
I would say the beauty of the 3.5.
I'm not sure he's a half.
Yeah, exactly. We can go whatever way we want with that.
Yeah, it's really just three and then some leftover crap. Anyway, I'm sorry. You want me to start yelling at Paul? What?
Yes.
Well, plus
yell at me. Yell at me.
All right, say something stupid then.
Okay, so I'm going to start it. Now, I want to get back into this. You glanced over it. But I'd like
glossed
to get
over
into it,
too.
Glossed over it. You're right.
You idiot.
I'm not a writer. Keep going.
No, go ahead. Proceed.
So, the Welker comment. I thought that was kind of interesting, and I'd like to kind of just veer off on a complete tangent and theorize what the hell was that situation where Belichick apparently just embarrassed Welker in front of the whole team.
Yeah, and that's what I'd like to know.
That's appropriate, and because, again, like, you guys have talked about it before, and I agree. I mean, the Jimmy Johnson comment. Not everyone's the same on the team. They're a special player. You don't admonish Tom Brady in front of a team, no matter what he does.
Well, I don't know if that's true, but you're right. There are different players, different rules, different reasons, but I feel like I would need to know the specific situation. A, had he never ever done it before? B, what did you do to deserve it? And, you know, how does this relate to other? We know he has specifically criticized other players in front of the team in the past at various times.
Criticized is one thing. What he said implied that he got embarrassed.
Yeah, but, I mean, we need more details. Now, the only question I have, the biggest question I have is, was there a change, a major change in the way he treated Wes Welker, and was it totally business-related? You know, everybody speculated that Bill got mad that Wes Welker signed the franchise tender last year and didn't sign a long-term deal, that Bill was not happy with that. And that led people to speculate in a lot of directions, that they just went out and signed Aaron Hernandez, gave that money to Hernandez. It would also bother me if Bill Belichick personally treated Wes Welker differently because of a business decision. Because Bill is always very clear the differentiation sort of between business and team. And if he's now blending the two together, that really would bother me. But I don't know that to be the case. You know, we're reading a lot into some kind of limited comments.
Actually, that's not even where I was going. I was wondering, I thought maybe it had to do with the Ryan comments on the feet.
That might be.
So he's referencing something that happened 4 years ago, 3 years ago?
Yeah, well, but he might have considered that embarrassing when he got benched for that.
Yeah, but I don't care.
But did he not just
that to me? That's fine. If Bill Belichick's rule is whatever, you don't say X in the media, you don't disrespect another, whatever it is, that's fine with me. I have no problem with that. Wes, you're being a baby. You're being a poo-na-nee. Get over it. But if it went into last year and it became something last year that was somehow personal and contract related, I have major problems with that.
Yeah, and that's my point. Like, Welker doesn't seem to be a crybaby. Right? Like, if this was Lloyd saying he got embarrassed or admonished in front of the team, I'd be like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, you're screw off, loser.
Right? Yeah, you know, like, you probably deserved it. But it doesn't, with Welker, it just seems kind of unique in that I don't see him being a crybaby. Yeah, like, I see him taking, you know, when you mess up or you screw up, hey, own up to it.
But that's why we need more information. I don't know when, what, and how.
He did seem to indicate that it was last year. He felt
right.
Like that Belichick
that
was
led me
around.
To believe, A, it was either early in the year when the whole playing time fiasco was going on, or B, could it have been around the Mike Felger, you know, sometimes it's nice to stick it in Bill's face.
Yeah, I think it started with the season that, you know, everybody yelled at us and said that was not a big deal.
No, but I'm talking specifically, when did Wes get embarrassed in front of the team? When, why, and how?
See, I think that we don't, you're absolutely right. We don't know.
And I need to know that.
But to me, it could have been just the whole, he wasn't good enough to have his role anymore. And I do think it stemmed from the contract, the franchise thing.
Then I have a major problem with that.
But I don't, like, to me, right now, it's not anywhere big an issue as they're making it out to be. And that's why, you know, Brian said we kind of glossed over it. I think that's what we glossed over is the fact
it's a terrible quote, really, in the article. Why not dive into that?
Give me right.
Like, oh, he was mean to me. Why? How?
Did he say that? Context?
Like, I mean, did you slap his kid? I mean, what?
No, now, and the other aspect of that is, you know, it's hard. I forgot exactly how he said it, but Bill has admitted that, and I think Mike Reese did a great job today going to get the quote from a couple years ago, and I remember it hit a lightning rod with me, because I actually asked Bill to, after a press conference, to talk more about it in a side room, and he really wouldn't expand on it, but when he said he's a hard guy to play for, and this is a hard place to play, I think he knows he's an a-hole. You know, he once said to me, I'm not big on positive reinforcement. Well, that's not going to be the most fun place to play, where you know you're going to get yelled at and chewed out all the time and served quote-unquote humble pie when you suck, and when you do great, you're not going to hear anything. And that's not the most fun.
And I think, Brian, and I'll let you go, but thanks for the call, and thanks for calling on the 855 number. That's big for us.
All right, thanks, fellas.
All right.
We have popped our proverbial...
cherry. I know you don't like to say it.
I was going to say owner.
Now I kind of forget the point I was going to make. You just knocked off my whole train of thought. I feel like it could be as simple as, you know, for Welker's point of view, just that it's not necessarily one individual instance where he undressed him in front of the team. It's just that he didn't treat him the same. And I think that Welker might have looked at it as basically, if not me, after what I've done for the last 6 years, and I've done everything, blah, 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 and I'm not going to get the money, and you're going to give the money to the younger guys just because they're the younger. So really, that's all it's about. It's just the value. It's, there is no sort of personal connection at all. It's just all about Hernandez and Gronkowski, your young tight ends. They're going to get the money. I got to get the scraps because I'm 32. I think it could be as simple as that. That is how he felt like maybe he was embarrassed in front of the team.
Well, this also gets back to my longstanding dual belief that, A, it's problematic when your head coach is also your GM because there is no good guy, bad guy. The coach cannot play off. Even if the coach is in lockstep with the GM, he can't say, you know, listen, I know you're getting screwed in the money angle, but I need you this year. I mean, I need you to be the Wes Welker I know and love. I need
if
you to be that
guy.
If
it were
up
to me, I would give you the
right.
long-term
deal. You don't even have to go quite as far as to lie, but you can kind of tiptoe through it. And the guy goes, yeah, even the coach is on my side. You know, I'm going to fight for him, whatever. And the other aspect is
a great point,
the utter lack of communication in this building. And you can't deny it. You can say it's worked for a decade for the best football team that the NFL has to offer with consistency, that won three titles and went to tours, all of that. There's a horrific lack of communication in this building. There just is. We've seen it too many times with Drew Bledsoe, through Ted Johnson, through all these other guys that, you know, they barely talk to Bill and, you know, it's only about foot, you know. So I'm guessing there's a good chance that Bill and Wes never sat down and had a conversation that I would have had as the head coach. I would have had a conversation in training camp with Wes last year that said, listen, I know there's a lot of business that's creeping into our relationship, and I know you and I don't necessarily see eye to eye on what you're worth and what you know, long term. I don't know what our relationship's going to be. But for this year, I'm your coach and you're my player.
Mm-hmm.
And I need you to be the 100 catch guy. I need to rely on you. And I want you to know that I'm going to treat you like I've treated you all along as a key part of this offense. And A, it didn't look that way through the way things started out last year. And B, I'd be stunned if that conversation ever happened. My guess is it didn't, because I don't think Bill Belichick has a lot of those types of conversations. So this is another example where, for all his greatness, I'm not sure Bill Belichick is the best communicator with his players and his football team.
Yeah, I mean, listen, there's a lot of different ways to look at it. I think that's an interesting one that you brought up. I think it's a really good point because, you know, it would be easy to sit there and have that conversation. It wouldn't be a hard thing to do. And
well, unless you don't do those things.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It'd be very easy to correct that thing. You know, one other point that I wanted to make.
By the way, now we're getting into the making a bigger deal of this than we wanted to.
Well, I wanted to make a point about the whole thing, like not all the players are equal. And I totally agree with that. Listen, you know, what might get some undrafted rookie, you know, benched is not the same thing that would get your Tom Brady benched.
Right.
I get that. Listen, that's life. There's a hierarchy to life. And we understand that. But what I think is more important is how you treat all the players in terms of knowing which ones. Like Wes Welker might be a sensitive guy. And these comments might be an illustration of that.
I think he's a little bit of a wham baby.
Yeah. I mean, this might be.
Which is ironic.
But you need
a little tough SOB.
But you need to understand that, I think, as a coach. I think the best coaches know the guys that they can scream up one side and down the other, and that will motivate him. And the guy that, if you do the same thing that you did to that guy, too, is going to go crawl in a hole. Because teams, and Bill will tell you this all the time, every year is different, every team is different, every player is different. So if you treat them all the same, you're not doing a good job. And I know Bill doesn't treat them all the same. He never says that.
I was just thinking
to his defense.
The 2009 thing with the Edelman punt return touchdown. And when Bill says, you know, you got your replacement.
Way to compete.
And he goes, well, like he didn't really hear him first. And then he was like, hey, like you could, he looks like a sensitive guy. And I would be too, by the way. And part of the sensitivity is you've never been validated. Cause In pro sports, validation is money. Money is validation in a lot of ways. And he probably has always felt that he was underpaid and underappreciated.
You know what's funny? That was my big takeaway from the excerpt. I haven't read the whole story yet because I haven't gotten my magazine yet. But I did read the publicity excerpt that they sent out yesterday. My big takeaway was his stuff about the offseason and how he wishes it was longer because, you know, these guys are playing basketball in the offseason with their buddies and they think that's their workout. I feel like I create a gap between myself and everybody else in the offseason. Now, I'm sure he's not alone in that kind of thought. That I thought that was interesting, and it goes right along the lines of what you're just talking about. He still doesn't feel like he's validated.
Right.
He feels like he hasn't proven anything yet.
Right.
You know, Now, listen, I'm not going to lie.
And Bill probably fed into that and kept, you know, basically saying you got to prove yourself. You got to prove, you're always proving yourself.
And I'm not going to change my opinion now. You know, I always thought Wes Welker.
Dime a dozen, loose change, waste of money, nothing there, no good, useless.
Right. Okay.
Were those all on point?
You can be a jackass if you want to, you know, and you and Rex. But I always thought he was overrated. I'm not infatuated with the number of receptions. However, doesn't mean I think he is all the things that you just said I said, because I didn't say any of them. Wes Welker, I think, is going to be, I think, imminently replaced by Danny Amendola this year. And I look forward to that, and I look forward to having a lot of I told you so's. Anyway.
We'll see.
Tony.
See how many times he cuts in when Brady throws out.
We will. I also thought that was interesting. He hated Brady when he first got here. Did you see that one?
Yes.
Tony from Trenton. I'm going to try to read these a little bit more, you know.
Energetically, not NPR-ly?
No, Fred-like, and just, you know, insert mistakes.
You don't want to be like Eric and be a douchebag.
Paul Perillo, Jake Steele, and the Heartbreak Kid. What's going on? It says Watts. What's going on? Watching NFL AM today.
And Did you see Nicole Zalumis?
Wes Welker. Oh, yeah. Talking crap about Bill. I was heartbroken that he's not on the 2013 team. That's over. I mean, what's up with this guy? A disgruntled employee, maybe?
Was he talking crap about Bill?
I know we don't know, Fred. I have been listening to PFW since 2010. Been a big Pats fan since 97. This offseason has been filled with revelations for me, and here's my top five craziest moves / revelations this offseason. Five, the New England Patriots signed Rutgers safety Daron Harmon. I wouldn't even have that in the top 20.
And what is this list exactly?
Craziest moves / revelations. Four, Fred reveals that he is a part-time Broncos fan. He's a full-time Broncos fan.
Yeah, I mean, he has a jersey of the Denver Broncos. Three. It doesn't fit, but he has it.
Mr. Durable signs with our new age rival, the Denver Broncos. Two.
Welcome to the new age.
Fred reveals that he once was a fan of the New York Jets. Heartbreaking. He has in parentheses. One. Patriots tight end Aaron Hernandez is charged with first degree murder.
Wow, that's quite. That needs one of those little, like, things that indicates a distinct jump from 2-1.
All right. Keep up the good work.
By the way, Fred's been a fan of almost every team you can name. If they were ever good at any point in history, Fred jumped on their bandwagon for a while. Patriots fans think he's loyal to the Patriots. He's only loyal to the Patriots because for the most of the time that he's been here, they've been very good. When they start to stink again, he's out of here.
That's a good point, especially if he's, never mind. But I think you're right about that.
Welcome to the new.
Guys, I was wondering if there were any low-level Eagles you've been hearing good things about through practices. And I was looking at the roster and thought I'd throw a little game at you. Out of each set of players, pick one to keep, one to cut.
This is for the Patriots, not the Eagles,
right? This is for the Patriots.
Okay.
There were two different questions. Michael Jenkins or Jake Ballard?
Oh.
I would keep Ballard out of those two.
I'd keep Jenkins.
Cannon or Conley?
Conley.
I would keep Conley, too. Buchanan or Bernard?
Bernard, I guess.
For me. Fletcher or Jake Beckett?
Fletcher.
Fletcher for me as well. Dowling or Marquise Cole?
Dowling.
I would go Cole. I think he offers more on special teams.
Well, he certainly does.
And finally, Gregory or Adrian Wilson?
Gregory.
I would go Gregory. I would go with the better pass defender in a passing league.
I think the best one was the first one.
Hadn't heard much about Fletcher, he says. What are you guys hearing?
Well, as a backup middle linebacker, you don't really, I mean, have you heard a lot about Brandon Spikes? He's your starting middle linebacker, right? Training camp, not really conducive to middle linebackers.
That's a good point.
Training camp's conducive to wide receivers, quarterbacks, defensive backs, occasionally a pass rusher. The line play and everything is good fight at the Packers, huh?
Yeah.
I mean, it's sort of like, you know, LeGarrette Blount. My guess is his best in showing will be in preseason action. Brandon Spikes and Dane Fletcher, you can evaluate them in preseason action. You know, aside from a couple goal line plays at the end of a practice.
I would say Fletcher would have more opportunities in training camp than a guy like Spice, because I think Fletcher's more involved in pass defense, but he's a backup, so he's not getting as many opportunities as
in fact, Spice had a nice pass defense where he did that dance where he wiped it out.
That was kind of a little shuffle with his legs. Brian in Essex, Vermont wants to know if we heard about the comments that Brandon Boykin made. You and I talked about this off the air.
Bully him.
Apparently, the Eagles felt that the Patriots were trying to bully them while they were practicing on Tuesday. Any additional info on that? I'd heard there was a partial scuffle between Dobson and
Kerry Williams
that ended up with Dobson's hands in the air and the Eagles player taking some kind of shot or something. Any word what happened there? I did enjoy the way that that was reported. That evidently they got in a fight and only one guy was fighting,
right?
Which I've never seen before. But anyway, they were both asked to leave. What do you think of the Boykin comment?
I don't really get it.
I didn't get it either.
I don't. I mean, yeah. And had I heard it from more than one person, maybe it would have. But only one guy said it. Doesn't really lend credence to it. I've also learned that sometimes talking to these players, they say things they don't really mean. They're not the most articulate people, the most intelligent people, some of them. And they just say things that they don't really even understand what they're saying.
Well, they use words incorrectly, and then sometimes they butcher the words. And it was funny. Remember George Scott, former Red Sox mm-hmm. first baseman? He died recently, like last couple of weeks. They had a story that I read about him that during the 78 collapse that, you know, there's nothing we can do about it. We just have to pick ourselves up off the campus. You know, stuff like that always makes me laugh.
Tufts University campus?
Christian, our good buddy, Chris with the TIAN, it's go time. Good luck tomorrow.
Your mom's ready?
Boys. I can't wait to watch. Paul, try not to sweat too much. Andy, try not to be you.
Your mother likes it when I'm me.
That's not what your mother said, Trebek.
Your mother likes it.
Let's see.
I don't sweat. We do have big lights in here, and I get a little glistening on the forehead sometimes.
Suck it, Trebek.
Suck it, Trebek.
James, the most interesting Patriots fan alive, is very excited about the preseason.
I found him more interesting, by the way, when he bought us lunch.
He says, am I the only one looking forward to seeing Tebow suck?
No.
Does that make me a bad fan? On another note, I think Beetle hates Tebow. Not as much as Andy does, though. No one even gets close to that.
How much do you think he's going to run the option? Based on the pistol and option looks we saw for a good chunk of what one practice.
I think that you will see some option stuff in the fourth quarter. I think he's going to play. I think you're going to end up getting Mallett and Tebow for half an hour. Maybe more like 1-2-1, something like that, with Brady, Mallett, and Tebow by quarters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I think you'll see some. I think at least a series you'll see of read option stuff.
Be interesting.
I think you need to put it out there so you make teams prepare for it.
Well, they only have to prepare for it if he's on your team.
Well, you think there's no chance that he's not going to be. So
that is correct.
So why would you? So you just said that to be argumentative.
What?
I said, you know, you have to put it out there. And you said, well, you don't have to prepare for it. It's on your team. But you think there's no chance that he's not going to be on your team.
I didn't say no chance.
Why else would you have said
I think it was a terrible
signing. You just
wanted
to be argumentative.
I think it was a terrible signing if they cut him at the end of training camp.
I think it's a terrible signing if he's on the team.
No, because they had a plan. They had a plan.
Well, so
they still
have a plan for everybody. You know what Mike Tyson says about the plan. Everybody's got a plan. Until they get punched in the mouth.
Until you rape her.
Oh.
That's what he did.
Now, everybody's
fact,
got
not
a plan until they
went
get
to jail
punched
for
in the
it.
Mouth. I want to, you know what, this is good. We have a lot of people writing.
By the way,
in
I just wanted to
covers.
Point out, Paul has been bitching off the air about the email system as well. Even though Fred did it on the air, and if people remember from last week, something changed, and the window's too small, and he can't see.
Well, it's hard
Paul's been bitching about it,
too. It's sort of hard to navigate around the emails, where it used to be all the emails would come in on the left, and you could view the one that you had highlighted on the right in its entirety.
There is a massive moth just flying around behind the glass.
Can't do that anymore, but I didn't really see the need to bring that on the air.
And you could put a saddle on that thing and fly around.
But I do want to take a quick break, but I also want to point out, Andy.
Why are you taking a break? We got no more food.
Because I'd like to have a cookie.
Just so you know, you don't need a cookie.
Just so you know, why are you talking out of the side of your mouth?
Because you're fat.
So you have to talk out of the side of your mouth and you're fat?
It's funny because he's fat.
I was going to give
the
you
best soundbite.
I was going to give you credit because your little cover idea seems to have taken hold. We have some emails on some suggestions for our cover, what we'd like to see coming off the preseason opener. So we're going to read some of those when we get back.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet.
How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo's sacks at Gerard Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down to 65 megabits per second available.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at patriotsproshop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo's sacks at Gerard Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down to 65 megabits per second available.
Fred's the boss, the chief, the leader of the PFW in Progress clan. And while he often goes on rants about fun facts, Skype, and making $5 the hard way, he sometimes has interesting things to say. Or at least when you can hear them.
PFW in Progress.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. I just got yelled at because I didn't have my mic on.
Why don't you put your mic on?
Welcome to PFW. I had my mic off again.
Again.
Two shows in a row.
Turn your mic on, Fred. Oh, I should remember to...
As sure as the stars shine above.
And Fred didn't turn on his mic.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress.
That's the longest you've ever gone.
And now, back to PFW in Progress. That is, if Fred remembers to turn his mic on.
Yeah, you might get it.
He also needs to remember to finish eating before he comes back. It's one thing if you're in the middle of a conversation and it goes to you when you weren't expecting it, but when you're coming back, you can start whenever you want.
Yeah, but he's like fat guy trying to shove one more bite in before the break ends.
Before we get to the covers, Chris in Auburn, California, not Auburn, Mass., wants to know if who's improved the most.
Is Auburn, Alabama a place?
Yes, but this is Auburn, California.
Who? What?
Which player do you think has improved the most during camp?
During camp?
Yeah.
From start of camp to
now? Which player has shown the most improvement throughout camp? And I have a candidate for this in mind.
Who?
Sudfeld.
Sure. Improved the most throughout camp. That's a tough one.
Anybody regressed?
Regressed.
I think Boyce has also improved a lot during camp.
I was going to say Boyce. Because I didn't think he started off all that well.
He
the
didn't.
First couple days I thought were pretty
And Melvin, by the way, Boyce has been playing the slot, which is where his college coach, Gary Patterson? Patterson.
I don't know. I screwed it up when I called.
Not good.
Secretary. I said, is Coach Patterson there? And she goes, it's Peter or whatever, vice versa.
Yeah.
And she said it was such like
disdain. He told Andy that he's a slot guy. Who played outside out of necessity in college, right?
I feel like saying, listen, you're not that big time of a coach. If your name was Urban Meyer, I wouldn't have screwed it up.
Well, you might have.
Well, Andy.
So you don't have anybody...
What? Who regressed?
Improved, regressed?
Regressed. Well, a lot of the regressions are injury related.
Yeah.
Like, that's a regression to me. No, I can't think of anybody who's regressed.
Yeah, I don't really have one either.
Was 84 the same 84 for all of
camp? Oh, there's another improvement.
Right.
It's Quentin Sims.
Well, that's what I was asking, though. It was him the whole time?
Quentin Sims,
okay, so
yes.
Quentin Sims is one of mine.
He's coming on.
Because he flat out sucked the first couple days. Couldn't catch anything. A cold in the winter. But lately, he's been, like, catching everything.
And made some tough catches, too.
Yeah.
In traffic.
You know, I used to mock
he's
it because it was Tebow to
that
Sims.
Tebow's thrown.
Well, that's what I used to say. Because he was so bad early, and Tebow was so bad early, when they would complete it, to me, that was like worlds colliding. But now, you know, Sims has kind of come on a little. Not that, you know, he's got a chance in Hades to make the roster or anything, but.
Well, practice squad.
Sure.
I think he's got a shot for now.
Did you know we have a Vallone and a Valano?
I noticed that you chose to tweet that out.
Well, I was doing a...
That's why you have 1,000 more followers than I do.
By the way, I posted something or will be posting on the blog today on Patriots.com, just a stockwatch of all the 90 players on the roster and whether they are trending up, down, or just sort of in a holding pattern as to what you might expect from them. And that's when I came across. We have two defensive linemen with the same letters in their last name, just different spellings. Vallone and Valano.
Yeah, Andy, before we...
Someone tweeted back to me that there should be, like, a good anagram. Like, you should be able to move it around.
Candygram.
That wasn't anything all that fun. It's like Vale 1 or Val 1.
Andy had thrown out before the last break we took about what would be the best cover that you could see coming off the preseason opener. In other words, what storyline post-game would be the best sign? And most of them are going to have to do with, you know... A good performance by the rookie receivers some way.
How about Gronk's day? Two touchdowns come in day return or something. Just suddenly he like runs off the sideline, like rips. I'm not hurt.
Are we just being like
WWE like? Okay. That would be great. You can tell me that wouldn't be great?
Yes, that would be great.
Thank you.
That would be a great story. Now, how about one that's great and possible?
Studfeld.
There's been a lot of Studfeld.
Oh, yeah.
Not a big fan.
Why? What do you like?
Well, I don't know. Sunshine. That's what they call him.
I don't care for that.
Sunshine.
It's one of my coaches.
Ronnie Bass.
Call me. Morning, Sunshine.
Oh, no, this is in relation to his hair.
Well,
from Remember
you know
the
what?
Titans.
That's gone after tonight, so.
Yeah.
Unless he chooses to.
Maggie Towitz Elliott.
Or something else. I wonder if you can go like chest hair or something. No, because he needs to be seen. It needs to be embarrassing outwardly.
No more Bones Jones, says Scott, who was going with the defensive side of things that we had discussed.
Yeah, but I don't get it.
I don't really either, but strippers, always good with the suggestions. Pats dropped the mallet on the Eagles. Andy, you think that's a little
bit ill-timed. I think that's maybe week two I'd rather see something that's more regular season related in week one. And Mallett, let's be honest, no matter how well he plays, you don't ever want to see him this regular season. So unless, I guess, unless you're trying to trade him. Those people that believe that they're going to trade him at the end of training camp because Tebow's now the backup, even though he can't run the offense or play football.
Joe just says, these young receivers can play. That's the only headline that we need to
see.
What
do you work for, the Globe? We're trying to have a little fun with it. Voice control from Major Tom.
Yes. John in Winnipeg has an email, not necessarily related to the covers, but he has a problem. I'm sure, like many Pats fans, that I read many different articles, blogs, etc., on training camp practices. While doing this seems like quite often there are different opinions drawn around certain players and what they are doing.
Yep.
Why do you think that is?
Because different people write those opinions and have different eyes and perspectives on the game.
Are different reporters,
and some know football and some don't.
Are different reporters too optimistic or pessimistic?
Yes.
Is talent evaluation very subjective and hard to do?
Yes.
Ask do some reporters have an agenda looking to see the story they wanted to write?
Yes.
Or is it something else?
All of those things.
I think John hits on a lot of the reasons, but I do think that the main one is the subjective one.
Is most people don't know football, but we do.
I told you there was one instance this year where the Globe and Herald, and I kid you not, on the very same repetition, had a completely different view of the result. And it had to do with Rossi Dowling and Aaron Dobson, who locked up in a one-on-one drill in cornerback and defensive back drills. I'm sorry, cornerback wide receiver drills. And one paper, I don't even remember which one was on which side at this point, but one paper said that Dowling absolutely dominated and made Dobson look silly, and the other one said that Dobson turned Dowling inside out and killed him. I don't know how that can happen. I totally get if you looked at, and Andy looked and said, you know, I've watched 10 practices and I see Dobson's really dominating, and someone else could look and say, yeah, I mean, Dobson's been okay, but I haven't seen him been dominant. You know, I really think Tompkins has been the better receiver. I think he's been more dominant. I don't see how you can look at one play and have 100% diametrically opposite viewpoints of who had the better of it.
What about when you look at a series of plays in, say, the spring, and Andy writes, Michael Jenkins seems to really have trouble catching the football, whether it be in drills or team segments, and ESPN Boston writes that his sure-handedness has been one of the strengths of summer spring workouts.
For example,
just hypothetically speaking.
Yeah.
So I think he's right. Sometimes there's agendas. Sometimes there's information that somebody is being fed about a guy, good or bad. Sometimes there's, you know, a guy saw three practices where Dobson looked good. Another guy saw a couple practices where he looked bad, and they make sort of overwhelming judgments, summations that are sort of accurate for the practices they saw, but don't really encompass all of the action because not everybody's out there every day. Some people have days off. I think there's a lot of different factors at play, and I do think different people have different knowledges of the game and what they look for and keys and things of that nature.
Lynn Lee wants to know where all the preseason content will be. Definitely.
How do you spell Lynn Lee?
Patriots.com. L-I-N-H. Lynn. And L-E.
L-I-N-H.
Yeah.
Could it be Lay?
It could be. I don't know. Sorry. Lynn Lay.
Lynn Lay. Don't mind if I do.
L-I.
I feel like we could get in trouble.
Yeah, it might be L-I-H.
Did you see the thing
it now.
The other day that I tell you about? On the heels of the issue with the plane crash with the Sum Ting Wong.
Unbelievable.
The ESPN.
Unbelievable.
One Direction.
Wanda Rection. If that guy is not fired right now, I don't know what could happen.
He shouldn't be fired. He brought a lot of entertainment to me.
Did you see it, Kevin?
One Direction.
Yeah, this is the
By
Little
the way,
League
I'm not meaning to offend
no,
anybody
I,
with
and
my
that's why
reading
I want to, that's why I want to explain this. Little League World Series is on, and they
ESPN.
Show these regional games all the time. And one of them was an international game, and it was one of the Chinese teams, I think.
I believe so.
Was it Chinese or Japanese team? It was an Asian team. I'm sorry for offending our Asian population. I don't remember if it was
Tongan and Samoan, not the same thing, Paul.
Exactly, and neither are Irish and Italian. So I'm just saying.
They both drink a lot and beat their wives.
See, now that's okay. That's okay. And let me tell you something. That is the stereotype for Italians. Right. That we're all a bunch of loudmouths.
Only on the weekends, Andy.
bunch of loudmouths. But anyway.
You get shirts named after you that you wear all the time. Wife beaters.
They obviously had some sort of production assistant of some sort or an intern interviewing these kids to find out all their little questionnaires. And the kid was asked what his favorite musical group was. And he obviously answered One Direction.
Right.
It was written down as W-A-N-D-A, Wanda, Rection, W-R-E-C-T-I-O-N. I'm sorry. That guy, whoever did is responsible for that needs to be
fired. And it's intentional. That's not a mistake. There's no way that's a mistake. Because there's no way you wrote that down. Even if that's what you heard and you wrote it down and now you have to type it into the Chiron, you go, well, what the hell is that? You Google it. Well, I've done it a million times in our little getting to knows.
Absolutely.
When I don't know what it is, I Google it to try to make sure I have it right or what it is. I mean, there's no way you saw that and said, oh, that's fine. I don't need to check that or see what that is.
And let me tell you something. When Andy and I are doing those getting to knows, a lot of times, listen, first of all, for me, I'll speak for myself. I won't throw you in there. I am a good 20 years older, at least, than any of the players that I'm doing getting to knows on. In some cases, more than 20 years old. What they're listening to and what I'm listening to are two totally different things, okay? Not to mention if, you know, they happen to be young black guys and they're listening to a lot of hip-hop and rap music that I've never heard of.
Or even...
Okay?
I remember the first one
I just put something in the paper and don't check to see what it is.
The first time I ever did it was Lonnie Paxson, who's the hottest girl or whatever, and he listed like five people I'd never heard of because they were all porn stars.
They were all porn stars.
You don't just go with it. You got to check.
But, I mean, how you could do that, I have no idea. No idea.
You know what that shows? That there is some Ting Wong.
Oh, God. Ross in Canada is with Andy
Hart. Did you
know
one of the names was We Too Low or something?
Yeah. Yeah.
That is one of the all-time great stories ever. But that made it to air.
Ross in Canada agrees with you, Andy.
That there's some Ting Wong?
Yes.
How long can I say this, as a matter of fact? And I'm no longer just referencing a story. I'm getting in trouble. Uh-oh, there it goes. Paul's phone is vibrating.
He says the one signature moment for Brady before we get to that is his 50th touchdown pass to Moss. Andy says that can't be because, you know, they didn't win the Super Bowl.
No, that's in consideration. I just don't think, to me, that doesn't signify what Brady was over his career and isn't like this, I don't know. It just doesn't do it for me.
He says the Patriots will go 10-6 this year, much like Andy Hart. They'll start off 6-3 and they'll go 4-3 to close it out after the bye.
And Andy will be eating lunch at Toby Keith's Bar and Grill.
And as always, F the Jets. See, I could live with that. I am not going to be able to live with it if they go 11-5, and I have to give you a lunch. That will bother me.
Well, I also have a bet with circulation manager Carol Hardy. So if they go 10-6, I win two lunches.
Anyway, when we were talking about Lin Lee, we brought up Patriots.com is obviously the place that you want to be for preseason content. Yes, you can watch the game there if you don't have access to the feed.
Okay.
Well, I could have done that.
It's not all that different.
Oh, it's actually a lot different because you're the only one that can see.
No, people can, that you I'm can suppressing hear when you're sucking it in.
I'm sorry. You couldn't hear that
yes,
I was.
Yes, they could.
No.
Yes, they
no.
could. Yes.
No, you're
yes.
wrong.
Yes.
We could just like let it fly on the air like Andy and Fred. I'm just.
Okay, keep going. Your promo, you're pumping Patriots.com.
Well, I was done.
No, Patriots Dunkin' Donuts pregame social starts at 5:15 with Paul Perreault and Andy Hart and...
Mark
New
the
host,
Beetle Bertrand.
Mark the Beetle Bertrand.
He was very excited to be on the Patriots.
And you'll learn to either love or hate him. I'm not sure yet. We'll find out as different topics come up. And he will also be hosting your post-game show after the game. And then during the game, because did I say 5:15 for the Patriots pregame social? If you want to interact, by the way, hashtag PPGS. We're always getting through with the Twitter crowd. We love your photos from your tailgating wherever you are in the world, especially if you have nice tatas. 7:30, flick on your TV or click on over to Patriots.com for the preseason game broadcast, which will feature Paul and Andy doing live updates from our new beautiful red recliners here in the radio studio. I think you should check it out just to see our red recliners brought to us by Bob's Discount Furniture, the place to go in New England if you need a new couch or any other sort of furniture for your home, need to update the decor, or if you're just filling out a new home, Bob's Discount Furniture. Getting the job done? No, but it is a groundbreaking broadcast that we are looking forward to taking part in with Dan Roach as the traffic cop, who I'm sure will do a phenomenal job getting things in and out and on pace as they need to be, letting it breathe when it needs to breathe, so to speak. And Christian Fourier will be the color commentator. And Matt Chatham, the special teams expert, will be down on the sideline offering commentary from that vantage point. So, very unique broadcast. I believe we are breaking new ground here, something that is sort of a new look to these preseason games. And so Saturday, I'm looking forward to reading Chad Finn in the Boston Globe as he breaks down how it went.
The two bright spots of the telecast.
Hopefully it says the two bright spots of the telecast. We're Paul Perillo and Andy Hart of Patriots Football Weekly.
So that's something.
And then post game. Did I mention the post game show too?
Yes. Mark DeBeetle Bertrand will be on Patriots.com roughly 5-10 minutes after the game's over, and he'll be with you for 2 hours, breaking down, the fourth and fifth wideouts and.
And he
safeties.
Loves drunk callers. So whether you're here in the local region or if you're anywhere in North America, you can call 1-855-PATS-500.
It's going to be hot, so make sure you get good and lubed up. Oh, wait. Can't say that.
Hydrated.
Hydrated.
He meant hydrated. Paul meant hydrated.
All right, so that's going
to
be the
We are looking for some people to call in from parties tomorrow for the PPGS, though.
Are you done?
Well, no, because I do want a couple parties tomorrow. Tomorrow's a good party day. Friday night, the weekend's here.
Speaking of out-of-touch white guys, holla. Anyway, that's going to be the next step for you and I in our careers. But Fred brought up something on Tuesday that Sam in Chicago is intrigued by. Can you guys elaborate on a subject I hesitate to bring up? The fall from potential perfection in the final minutes of the 2007 Super Bowl changed my mood, but apparently changed your careers, or actually didn't? Can you let us know how, in the event that the Patriots did taser David Tyree in the final seconds of the game, how your lives would be different? Personally, I don't really understand how mine would be.
I know
Fred
mine
seems to
be.
Think that our careers would be different.
How?
And I don't really know. So unfortunately, Fred's not here. He never really got into that. Listen, might we have been part of some special on that team? Like if NFL Network decided to do something in their archives, NFL
Why? They
films,
don't invite us to do stuff now.
I was just going to say, I don't think that we
They invited you once. You didn't make the show.
I don't think.
Didn't they invite you once?
Was that an NFL Network thing
I
didn't get on? Or ESPN Classic?
Oh, ESPN. I mean, NFL Network.
I thought
it was
like
a 10, top 10 or something, one of those type things.
Yeah, I thought
Either
it was
way, you were on the cutting room floor.
I thought it was the thing on Peyton Manning, but I thought that was an ESPN Classic thing. I don't think I've ever done anything for those specials on NFL Network. You and I have both done hits for NFL Network.
Oh, right? Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You've done those, right?
Oh, yeah.
So we'll see.
Got paid for one thing.
No, which is one reason why I don't think my career would be any different.
You'd still be unhappy. ESPN could give you $1 million
a
year gig.
Yeah, but for a different reason.
Broadcast from your living room, and for some reason, you'd be upset.
Best case, says Rodolfo. Best scenario would be a shared cover.
Was that a dramatic pause for Rodolfo's effect? Or?
I wanted to make sure it's Rodolfo Leone, and I wanted to make sure I had the first and last name and not.
Rodolfo Leone?
Oh, Leone Rodolfo. I wanted to make sure I was.
Or Leon.
Well, there's an accent over the O.
Oh.
I know Eric's not here, and I'm intruding on the NPR portion of it. Best case scenario would be a shared cover.
What does NPR stand for? No? Can't say the last words.
You can't say the last word or the second word?
Oh, we say the second word on this show.
Oh, for God's sakes. Half the cover is a picture of Dobson making an amazing catch, and the other half is Chandler Jones sacking Vic
yes.
and forcing a fumble with the caption,
Young
Destination
Guns.
New York.
New Jersey, actually, Fred would put. He would never allow us put. He would put New Jersey. That would be good. A split cover. If there was like a big Dobson play and a big Jones play, you armed and... Oh, no. See what happened?
See, this
no,
is,
in all
this
seriousness.
This is why we're not ready to have any different careers.
No, see, that's not fair. I hate it when people hijack words and phrases and I can't use them now. That's not fair.
Damn Aaron Hernandez.
Exactly. I mean, I'm being a little bit serious here.
How about Zach?
We
attack?
Couldn't do Young Guns. We couldn't do Armed and Dangerous. Like, he has sucked the fun out of cover words in a certain area.
How about Zach Attack?
Yeah, no.
You wouldn't be excited about it?
I like the other cover idea better. Jones and Dobson and some, like, Young Guns, Arms and Dangerous, like, okay. Type thing.
Pat,
I'm a little off the Zach Sudfeld. I like Zach Sudfeld
Pat's
as much as anyone.
Eagles.
I was very much on the Sudfeld thing coming out of the summer.
Right,
I mean, spring.
Our boy James needs some help.
He did text me and say, can you have Paul read my...
Tebow dies in freak lightning strike. Completes 3 of 23 passes. He definitely needs some help.
That was good.
Oh, boy. Let's see. We're wrapping it up here. I'm going to just rifle through some more emails.
Okay. That's usually meanings you're not going to. But.
No, Garrett and... Well, we've been reading emails for the last half hour or so.
You don't need to tell me you're going to read them fast. Just read them
Garrett
fast.
In Atlanta. Hey, guys. Longtime listener. First time writing. In honor of Andy showing some optimism last week saying... Danny Amendola won't have any drops in big games because he won't play in any. I'd like to give a few more pieces of optimism in quotes, from the mind of Andy Hart. One, Ross Idale won't give up any touchdowns this year because he won't see the field. Two, Bill Belichick will never have to see another good draft pick arrested because he will never draft another good player. Three,
no, he's a very, very good drafter.
Tom Brady will never lose another Super Bowl because he will
never
play in another. Four, and we can all agree on this one, Eric Scalavino will never have a disappointing physical encounter with a woman because he'll die before he touches one.
That's
a pretty good first email.
That's a very good first email.
That's good job, Garrett.
They come out of the gates hot in Hotlanta.
Yeah.
Have you noticed Atlanta's a little bit of a...
hot spot?
Yeah. No, I'm being serious. It seems like we have a bunch of emails from the greater Atlanta area.
The greater Atlanta area?
Yeah.
We're going to ask for the regular callers to step aside. Let's see.
Wow.
Nick just thinks Welker is whining.
But what did he whine about? I didn't get it.
He even said at one point that he wasn't treated any differently than any other players. See, that's why I don't think he was whining.
Right.
He didn't say I was singled out.
Right. Like I just said, I don't think it's easy to play in a place where you only get criticized and rarely get praised. I don't think that's easy. Ask my wife. That's the life she leads.
Nick says all the things that I think are accurate, but for the very reasons that he's saying them, I think that Welker is not whining.
Right.
I think if he were trying to single himself out as being unfairly prosecuted or persecuted.
Prosecuted. That's Aaron Hernandez who says he's being unfairly prosecuted.
Then I would think he's whining, like, oh, woe is me. I don't think he's doing that. I think he's saying that that's the way it is there. And basically what he was saying was, yeah, I did it for 6 years, and I'm sort of looking forward to doing it a little bit of a different way. Listen, bottom line is if either side really wanted it to continue, it would have continued.
Correct.
Because he didn't leave for any more money, and clearly the Patriots offered him the $10 million, so they were prepared to have him come back and play.
Mm-hmm.
So if they really wanted it, they both would have made it happen.
Right.
And I put the blame on both sides.
Right.
I know that doesn't play, real sexy on ESPN. We can't have a big debate and start screaming and yelling and saying you're crazy if you think it was Welker's fault and you're crazy if you think it was the Patriots' fault.
It's not just ESPN. Comcast Sportsnet. You're an idiot. You're a moron.
Wow. Just imagine what you're going to think years from now when you think about that.
Well, to be fair, he's on Jimmy Kimmel and we're not, or Jimmy Fallon.
That's something to be proud of.
I bet you I could get on if I really wanted to, right?
Anyway,
Andy, next week when I'm co-hosting on EEI, if I really wanted to, I could say something that could make national news.
Andy did a great job of breaking down all of the wonderful things we're going to provide you with tomorrow, but... It all starts off at 5:15 Eastern Time, right here on Patriots.com. The Patriots pregame social. Andy Hart, Paul
Dunkin'
Perillo.
Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social inside the Subway Fresh broadcast studios. Call us on the Ace Ticket Hotline.
When I get something for all of that, I'll start mentioning it all.
Thank you, Dunkin' Donuts.
Okay. Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social.
I don't know about that this year. We'll see.
Yep. Oh. Yeah, we don't have...
pregame social.
We don't have a large man to go and pick it up for us.
A large man host it.
Oh, you just...
Well, we get a skinny guy this year, right?
Yeah, we got a skinny man. He can get there back and faster. Yeah, he won't drop any of them. He's got good hands.
And he won't eat any of them on the way back.
Big night tomorrow night with the Patriots.
Sorry, Pepe,
preseason opener at Lincoln Financial Field, but you want to make sure you get it started right. 5:15 Eastern time right here with the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social.
Drink a beer and be right here.
And then you just click on the TV, you watch the preseason opener, and you watch Andy Hart and Paul Perillo and let us know how we did.
Peace out.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.